testing, 1, 2.
To Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church on a chilly Sunday morning. First of all, for the announcements, we want to remind everyone about the Thanksgiving dinner tonight at 6. And please bring your favorite side dish. We'll have turkey and drinks and bread. Is that right? Right.
Oh, and the dressing.
Everybody else playing a side dish
and/or a
dessert.
And/or a dessert. Okay. Any other general announcements?
There's a call session meeting this afternoon at
4:30. 4:30 call session meeting. Do you have anything, Micah?
Just a reminder, this coming Saturday is our coffee house night, last Saturday of each month, and this month we will be watching a movie, but Early Life of Josh McDowell. It's called I'm Gone. It was advertised a lot by Christian channels and radio. It's very inspiring movie. You'd like to learn something, how to help people to come to Christ, how to share your testimony. This will be a good inspiration for you to bring your friends who are searching for Christ. This can be a very, very changing, life-changing experience. So pray for us.
Larry.
Yeah, right. Thank you. I was sitting there phone and everything. The session program buying back water this year more. I'm trying to get the little additional money to help pay on the mortgage. All right, there's a chart out here. Just ask people toward the end of the year to give out tax time. This is something that's you can't write off on your taxes, help to pay the mortgage down on the additional market. All the money payment. You would keep that in your pocket.
Okay.
Yes. Would you remind everybody about the Tuesday night community Thanksgiving service?
Yeah.
Okay. And, well, another thing was I want to remind everybody, if you are participating in, of course, this is only in December, the skits and the play, it is now December the...
It's December the 16th, the same day as the cantata. We moved the program at request of our leadership to have a day of celebration on the 16th. The cantata in the morning at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school at 10. So it's a different schedule on the 16th. And the evening of the 16th at, I don't know if we put a time. Probably 6.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's published. We'll have a Christmas program. Each of the Sunday school classes is considering skits to give us or musical enjoyment or whatever they could provide for us to share the real meaning of Christmas with us.
Okay, and as Julie wanted me to mention, the community Thanksgiving service this Tuesday, November the 20th at 7 at Covenant Baptist Church, and of course that's at up at Knowles Road near Comfort Road, okay? Are there any other general announcements?
That's right. Yeah. If you have participated in the Love Love offering, then you can go ahead and bring those up at this time and place them on the table.
If there are no other general announcements, if you will please bow with me to welcome Jesus, the light of the world, and the lighting of our candles. Praise request. Joey.
A friend that's on the cheer squad, she's in a bad wreck in a coma, and her mother was killed in a wreck. Her name is Laura Neville.
Are there any others?
Randy Rody, help with the control of cancers.
Are there any others?
I don't want to miss anyone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's one that we have, and I didn't find this out until first of the week. Miss Pauline Campbell fell.
Yes.
And hit her head and was injured. You know, just called him to take her to the emergency room. And I talked to him first of the week. And he had her stitches out and her clamps, her things on her scalp.
We need to remember both of them. When you have someone that is in that shape, it's taxing on both of you. So let's just keep up with those.
She's recovering pretty well from the head injury.
She's a tough cookie.
But I was talking to Mr. Campbell this morning because he was here. He said the issue right now is that her hip is so bad that it's getting hard for her to get around. And so I think they really... concerned about that issue and whether, you know, her age, can they do surgery, that kind of thing. And I think she's sort of been, she's real concerned about that too, along with the fall.
Are there any others?
One of my friends and one of my customers, Sean Prince, he died earlier in the week. He was 39 years old, colon cancer.
Father, we come to you now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to intercede, and for this family that has lost loved ones, we pray, Father, for them, that you'd uphold them by your mighty power. Lord, that you'd be with them and as they walk through this valley. Lord, may they know your hope. May they know your presence and your peace that passes understanding. Father, for these that are experiencing sickness and for all the needs that are represented on our long-term prayer list, Father, we pray for each one of those and ask, Lord God, that you would minister to them, continue to uphold them by your mighty power. Lord, continue to bring relief to them and help to them in their time of need. And we thank you, Father, for how you care for us, for how you watch over us and minister to us. And we give you praise and glory. We come to you this morning giving you thanks. Father, thanking you for your goodness and your mercy. And Lord, for all that you have bestowed upon us, all the blessings of life, all of your great and precious promises. Lord, for all these things, we give you praise and we give you glory. Help us, Lord, that we might worship you this morning. In spirit and in truth. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Now help us to pray the prayer that you have taught to your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to start with a call to worship and praise and in our singing. And so we're going to invite you to sing along with us. But this call to worship is going to be just a little bit different this morning. It calls for an echo. And of course, echo is that you would respond with the same energy and enthusiasm as the leader. So let's see how this works this morning. All right? Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good.
And your mercy endureth forever.
And your mercy endureth forever.
Say again, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good.
And your mercy endureth forever.
And your mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
Thank you. thanks to the Lord, our God and King.
His love endures forever.
He is good, he is above all things.
His love endures forever.
Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand
and outstretched arm,
his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn,
his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise,
sing praise, sing praise. Setting sun, his love endures forever. By the grace that God will carry on, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Forever.
Praise you for call to confession this morning comes from Ephesians. Don't allow lust setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, or bullying greed. Though some tongues just love to taste the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for languages than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. A prayer of confession and silence. Amen. Our words of assurance. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and establish the faith, just as we were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Our offertory sentence this morning is from Revelation 7:12. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. If our ushers will please come forward. Okay, I need six, please.
Give you praise and glory. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you. Lord, in the giving of our tithes and our offerings, we say amen to you. We say blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, and honor and power and might belong to you. You are our God. And Father, as we give, it is an act of worship. It is an act of thanksgiving. It's an act of praise. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity. We put our faith and our trust in you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. So we give back to you a portion of that that you've entrusted to us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yeah.
children's time with Miss Mary Jo. And after children's time, you may leave to go to children's church with Miss Rebecca.
Do you think that they they had hot dogs and hamburgers?
No.
Do you think that they had ice cream?
No.
They ate food very different from us. Jeremy, I need you to come stand by me, please. Right here. Yes, sir, you do. Why did you stand by me? I need you to hold something for me. Do you know that the pilgrims kept 5 kernels of corn on their plate so they could remember what had been done for them and how good God had been to them? So I've got some kernels of corn for you today, but I want you to think about what they're for. Jeremy, hold this. Number one, the first corn is because God loves us. The second corn is God provides our needs. The third, we're thankful for what for our friends that God has given us. And the fourth is for the people who love us. And the fifth is God hears our prayers. And He answers them. Maybe not exactly when we want Him to, but He does. So I want us to remember this, to be thankful. Sometimes it's hard to be thankful when we're boys and girls, and we just want everything to go our way. But I want you to think about this Thanksgiving, about the 5 kernels of corn and how significant they can be in your life. Do we have a song we can sing?
Sure.
And we're not going to crowd around the piano today. We're going to stand right here because we have so many of us.
Thank you.
No, everybody just turn and sing this way. Turn around.
Scripture this morning comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. The scripture tells us that we are to always rejoice in the Lord. To always find our rejoicing in the Lord. And yet, it's not always easy. There are things that happen in life that make it difficult sometimes to rejoice in the Lord because we're feeling all kinds of emotions. And at times, some of those emotions are anxiety, worry. And sometimes we know exactly what we're worried about. We know exactly what we're feeling. We know exactly why. And we can identify it, and we can pray about it, and we can put it over in the hands of the Lord. But other times, there's just stuff that's sort of under the surface, and we haven't quite identified it yet. We're not even sure exactly what's making us so anxious. I know sometimes, we grind our teeth at night. You know, we do a number of different things that we wake up and we wonder, why am I doing that? The doctor would probably tell us, yeah, you've got some anxiety somewhere. Somewhere you're stressed. You're worried. And sometimes it takes us a while to identify that. And sometimes we don't. Or maybe we haven't yet identified exactly where our stress level's coming from. But we know this. God knows. There is an answer. God knows, and He knows how to keep us, and He knows how to bring us to a place of peace. And that the path to that place of peace is definitely on our knees. It's in the prayer room. It's in that place where we spend time bringing our concerns and our cares and the things that we do know about to Him. But the Scripture assures us that the Spirit of God who dwells in us knows us better than we know ourselves. And says the Scripture says in Romans chapter 8 that God, the Spirit of God prays for us and prays through us, gives us groanings which are too deep for words, and knows how to pray on our behalf. So it's good to know that we have an advocate that goes before the Father, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ stands in the gap for each one of us, and that His Holy Spirit is here ministering to us, for us, and on our behalf. So as we read this Scripture, and it says, rejoice in the Lord always, there's another level for rejoicing. The idea that we need to rejoice in the Lord for the things that we don't even understand yet, for the things that we're not even sure what the answer is yet. There is a place where we can find rejoicing in the Lord and still continue to give those things to Him. It says that we should know that the Lord is at hand, that the Lord is here, that the Lord is among us. And because He's here, there's no need to be anxious. No need to be anxious. It actually tells us, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be worried or stressed about anything. Now here's the deal. It's easy to say don't be worried or stressed. And if I really need to know everything that I'm worried or stressed about, then I'm going to have more reason to be worried or stressed. But if my confidence and my faith is in the Lord who knows me intimately, then I can know through prayer that God is at work on me, even in those things that I don't understand yet. Even the things that I don't know how to work out.
So I can have peace knowing that He's at work in me, knowing that He's with me always, never leaves me, never forsakes me. And so that's why He's saying, yes, we can come to the place to where we put the anxiety aside. It comes from the belief and the reality and the knowing that He's here, that He's right here in our midst, that He cares, and that He's working on us. Now, it says to us, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And it's in the midst of that kind of attitude, that attitude of thanksgiving, and that attitude of trust, that the peace of God begins to surpass all understanding and guards our hearts and minds. I want to unfold that a little bit. Just that whole idea about thanksgiving being added to every one of our prayers. I want you to look with me first at 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. And in this chapter, Solomon has finished the building of the temple. And they are gathering together to dedicate this temple to the Lord. And they know that as they dedicate this temple to the Lord, that the Lord is now going to dwell in this temple. So, this is what happens. As they were gathering together, they gathered all of the priests. And all the priests who were trumpeters were gathered, all the priests who were singers, everyone who was the player of the lute and the harp and all of the musical instruments came together for this occasion. And verse 13 says, and it was the duty of the trumpeters and the singers to make themselves heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the song was raised with trumpets and cymbals and other musical instruments in praise to the Lord, and here's the psalm they were saying, for He is good and His steadfast love endures forever. The house of the Lord was filled with the cloud. So that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. So, the point is, as they began to minister, as they began to sing and declare their thanksgiving to God by singing this song of praise and worship, God showed up. God filled His house. God did exactly what they expected He was going to do. But what's interesting to me is that it was the Scripture makes a point that as they began to sing, as they were singing the song, He didn't just come in because the house was finished. He came in because they had gathered together to recognize and honor God. But He didn't come in at the beginning of their recognition. We light these candles to signify the presence of God is here. You know, we light them at the beginning of the service to signify that God was here before we got here. And He is. But in this case, it didn't say they dedicated the Lord and the Lord was there already. It says as they were thanking Him, as they were singing their song of praise and thanksgiving, God filled the house. Now keep that in mind for a moment, and we're going to think about something that happens a few chapters later. It's not up on the screen, but just a few chapters later, in chapter 20 of the same book, 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Jehoshaphat is leading the children of Israel into battle. He's leading them into battle because three armies have come against them. Three armies have come together to come against little old Israel. And they are outnumbered in a big way. And so Jehoshaphat goes before the Lord, and the Lord assures him and comes to him and speaks His word to him and says, I will fight this battle for you. You will not need to fight. Just go out there and I'll fight it. So, the next day, Jehoshaphat just has to gather the people. It's his job just to gather them and get them out there. Because God's already said that He's going to fight the battle. That He's going to show up. That He's there. And He's going to do the fighting. So, Jehoshaphat still has to get them out there. And so, gathers the army up. They're getting ready to go out. Army's all assembled in their battle array, and they're ready to go. And he says, wait a minute, though. God did say that he's going to do this. Bring the singers up here. And he moves all the singers up into the front. Now, they don't have on their battle array, and they don't have any spears or swords in their hands. And they're probably thinking, what's going on here? Are we getting offered up as lambs of the slaughter today? And so he says, we're going to sing a song of praise and thanksgiving to God. And they do. They sing, thank you, Lord. So let's read it. It comes in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 20 and 21. It says, and when he had taken counsel with his people, or with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. And as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Mount Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. And so they were routed. So here they were, and the way this unfolds is that Jehoshaphat brings all these singers up front to sing, and they're dressed in their holy attire, and they're worshiping God, and they're marching, and they're singing, and leading the whole army in worship and praise. And all the children of Israel are falling behind. And they're marching out to the rim of the valley. And when they get out there, everybody's dead. The battle's over. It's already finished. The three armies turned against each other and they killed each other. And they did it. It all began to happen when the singers started singing. It all happened when they started giving thanksgiving. Now, here's my point. In the New Testament, as we were just reading earlier in Philippians chapter 4, it said, come to God and cast all your worry, all your anxiety on Him. Bring your prayers to Him and your petitions, and bring them with thanksgiving. And when you come with thanksgiving, the peace of God will rule your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So what this is a recipe for reliance upon God in the midst of things that we don't even know how to solve, that we don't even actually understand yet, that they're really bothering us because they haven't risen to the surface yet. Let alone the things that we can see and know exactly what to pray for. But trust and faith in God is our deliverance. And God shows up in the midst of praise and worship. He shows up in the midst of thanksgiving, and that's why He says to us in the New Testament, make sure thanksgiving is added together with your prayer and your faith. There's something about thanksgiving that puts you in a position of power. Why? Because the power of God seems to be unleashed when we begin to thank Him. Most of the time, when do we thank people? After they do something for us, right? So we send them a thank you card, or we say thank you. And we let them know how much we appreciated it. My birthday is June. Thank you all for all the cards and the gifts that you're going to give me. I appreciate those so much. Just want to let you know how much I love you. And that's right. And I'll be 52. And thank you for all the Christmas presents. I appreciate all those. Thank you. And now, the point is, I mean, that seems silly, doesn't it? We laugh at it because that seems silly, but that's what God is asking us to do. If you're putting your faith and your trust in God, then go ahead and begin to thank Him for the victory now. And you can specify the victories that you're thanking Him for. These folks were going out to battle, and although God's word had been spoken that they would have the victory and that God would fight the battle, they couldn't see the battlefield. They had no idea how it was going to unfold. All they knew was that God said He'd fight the battle. Let's go ahead and thank Him for it. Lord, thank you. Thank you for fighting the battle for us. Your love, your steadfast love endures forever. We just give you the praise and the glory, and we thank you. We sing your praise today. And they got out there, and it was over. Hallelujah. Is there power in thanksgiving? Hallelujah. Is thanksgiving making God do something? No, because in everything, in every situation that we're talking about today, in these two that we pointed out in the Old Testament, in both of those, God had already said, you build the house for me and I'll come dwell in it. They knew he was going to come dwell in it. In this situation, they knew God was going to fight the battle. Theirs was just to go out and be ready. But in both situations, God began to move when they began to give thanksgiving. When they began to thank him. Now that says something to us about why Philippians chapter 4 says, always add thanksgiving to your prayers. Always give thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving is so vitally important. I want you to look with me at Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. We know that the Scripture talks about Abraham and how he was 100 years old, and as good as dead. Sarah was 90, way past the age of childbearing, had been barren from her youth, besides the fact that she's now too old, way too old to have children. But it says in chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Now here's another situation. I mean, here's the New Testament talking about this. And even though we know about his early struggle, the New Testament in Hebrews and in Romans records him as becoming fully convinced, as being a man who was walking in faith, who was trusting God. We know that you know, they tried to do it in the flesh. They tried to, Sarah tried to give him her handmaiden and say, maybe this is the way God wants to do it. But God kept coming back again and again. He kept giving his word again and again. He'd get more specific each time. And finally, he said, Abraham, listen, you're having a child from Sarah, and you're going to name him Isaac. And it's through Isaac that you're going to be the father of many nations. And we all think, well, then that just happened because God said it was going to happen. Yes, it did. But the New Testament records in Hebrews and in Romans, it says in Hebrews that Sarah received the strength to conceive because she judged him faithful who had promised. Not just because he had promised, but because she finally came to the place to where she believed. Abraham, who had waffled early on, finally got to the place when God finally said, it really is going to be through Sarah, and his name is going to be Isaac. He was fully convinced. And that's what the Scripture records. He was fully convinced. For 3 months, he was fully convinced. And he found out that she had morning sickness. I'm sure that's the way they found out back then. I'm just guessing. There weren't any of those strips. You know? So, he finds out. You know, even though you find out, I mean, she's 90, so there's a chance of miscarriage, right? Miscarriages, they were familiar with miscarriage. They knew that kind of thing happened. They weren't through believing God. They were still trusting God through the whole pregnancy, fully convinced that there was this child would be born. They'd name him Isaac, and through him, Abraham would be the father of many nations. Fully convinced. Now, God did what he was going to. Here's my point. Scripture says that we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. which God prepared beforehand that we could walk in. My point is that God's got a purpose for your life and your life and your life and my life. And He's not finished with any of us yet. We all have a calling on our life. We all have things that we're called to do. And God is in the business of shaping us. He could have given them that child when Abraham was 75 and she was 65. He could have given it to them when he was 80 and she was 70. 85. 75. But it took time to move them to the place of being fully convinced. And that's okay with God. Because God's not limited to a time frame. God is just as concerned about you and your faith development as He is about accomplishing His plan. He wants to use each and every one of us. And He's working on us. And He's not letting go of us. And He's using the circumstances and things that are going on in our lives to mold us and to shape us and to prepare us. And He's hoping that we're going to allow that whittling process to take place in our lives so that we're changed. So that we come to that place to where we lay all of the worry and the anxiety aside and we come fully convinced. What that scripture says right there is that Abraham became fully convinced when he was giving glory to God. Giving glory to God is thanksgiving. Acknowledging that He is the one helping, that He is the one fulfilling His word. It's always going to be God's word, but look, just as God spoke to Jehoshaphat and said He'd fight the battle, just as He spoke to Abraham and said, "You'll be the father of many nations," just as He spoke and said, "Build the temple and I'll dwell in it," He's spoken His word and He's given us all these great and precious promises. And He said they're yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And He's just waiting for us to begin to agree with them, apply them to our lives. And it's in thanksgiving the power of God is in the nation of God. I'm going to ask the musicians to come.
And as they come,
as we sing this closing hymn, I want us to think about the power of thanksgiving and what it means to give God the glory that's due His name. To thank Him for His goodness and His mercy. Thank Him for His great and precious promises. And to put our faith and our trust in Him and know that He is leading us along the path. Some of you have not even begun your ministries yet. I remember hearing the testimony of a preacher who had been pastoring a church for 30 years. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "You're about to enter the first phase of the ministry." He said, "Lord, what are you talking about? I've been in ministry for 30 years. I've been pastoring churches for 30 years. He said, "Yes, that's all preparation for what I've called you to." And then he went on to build a Bible college, among other things. Had an international ministry. It's just amazing what God has in store for us. It may not be something on that scale, but it's what God's called you to. And He's been waiting on you all along. And He's just wanting us to respond to Him in faith. See, the thing about thanksgiving is that thanksgiving causes our faith to become stronger. Thanksgiving causes us to become more focused. It causes us to... It helps us stay in the place where we need to be. It helps us stay in a place of humility. It helps us stay in a place where the presence of God ministers to us. Where the presence of God is there with us and where the power of God is unleashed in our lives. I want to read this scripture to you. It's Philippians chapter 4, 8, 9. It's the last scripture that we had. And we'll have to go back to it. Sorry about that. It's verses 8 and 9. And it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Where it concerns prayer, he says, the peace of God. When you add thanksgiving, the peace of God will rule your heart and mind. But when you start to practice thanksgiving by putting your mind, by putting your thinking on things that are worthy of praise, worthy of excellence, when you start to practice thanksgiving, the God of peace shows up in your life. And when the God of peace shows up, when the presence of God shows up in a more powerful way, then His glory and His power is more available, ready to move in our lives. So I encourage you each one. As the Lord has blessed us, as He has placed His calling on our life, as He has given us the power to serve Him, as we are thankful for all that He's done for us, respond to the call of God. As He's speaking to your heart today, whatever He may be speaking to you about, respond to His call. Respond to Him with a heart of thanksgiving. Say, "Lord, I thank You. I thank You for what You want to do in my life. And I agree. I want You to move powerfully in my life. I want Your will to be accomplished." And it's amazing how God brings everything together. It's sort of like fast forward. It's sort of like He just brings everything in place where we want to be. When we give ourselves into the Lord, do that this morning. And we'll pray together and present it to Lord, that's our desire to glorify your name. And Lord, we offer you our lives. Take our lives and use them for your glory, for your witness. And Lord, accomplish your works. Bring those things to pass as we give you the thanks, as we put our faith strongly in you. In Jesus' name we pray.